Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Thanks very much. This is very exciting. I love this show. I'm very appreciative of everyone being here. I know a lot of you guys travel really far to be here. I love music very much, and I feel very lucky to be able to run Asian Man as my full-time job. It's really about the people, and I love meeting nice people, so thank you so much for supporting Asian Man and being so awesome. Also, we're the Cheekies. We have not played a show since 1999. To be honest, I'm really freaking nervous. So we're going to try our best. We would just like everyone to have an amazing time. So dance, have fun.
Hola, everybody. I'm your host, Courtney Close, with a special extra-long episode of The Flyover Ska Show. We are, of course, brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters Podcast Network and MN Ska, Minnesota's ska community at mnska.com. You just heard Mike Park, the founder of Asian Man Records, speak to a packed crowd at Slim's in San Francisco back in June as he kicked off the first night of five for the big 15th anniversary fest of his beloved record label. The label, as the band Narboots puts it, are your one-stop shop for ska, punk, rock, and is still run out of Mike's mom's garage. When Mike announced the bands that were playing the anniversary shows on the label's website, and I saw that many bands were reuniting to play, like Slapstick and the Chinkies and Slow Gherkin. I was talking to a fellow online ska nerd, Boston, who draws the ska webcomic 21 Dead Monkeys. Anyway, I was telling her that it's too bad that I don't live out there, so I can't go to the show. And she asked me simply, why don't you just fly out there? Then it struck me, I could just take off work, fly out to the Bay Area for a week, and go to all the shows. Why not? I mean, I'm an adult, right? I even have family out there and I could stay with and visit. So right then and there, I bought tickets as an impulse to all the shows I could, and I flew out there in June. The festival was five nights long, with most nights running concurrent shows at two clubs on San Francisco's south side. The first night, however, began at Slim's, where a reunited band, the Chinkies, opened the show, featuring Mike Park on lead vocal. After their set was over, it had felt kind of like a headliner's performance. I felt as if, wow, I just saw a great performance and I'm ready for the night to be over. But then you look at the bill and you realize the night's far from over, because MU330 took the stage next and they played an amazing set. And it featured their original lineup, including original sax player Matt Nobby. Then, headlining the entire night was the reunited band Slapstick from Chicago, a band who had not played together for this music since their reunion show back in 1997. It was an absolute treat to see them, who, along with the Chinkies, are bands that I really thought I would never get to see in my lifetime. That was an amazing night, and I ran into many people and musicians I've met through this podcast. In fact, I ended up running into Jimmy Doyle, who you might know from The Fad or from The Fourth Rights. Anyway, he was hanging outside the venue after the show.
All right, I'm standing outside of Slim's here with Jimmy Doyle from The Fourth Rights. I bumped into him randomly here at the Slapstick reunion show. Jimmy, give me your thoughts.
Chicago pizza sucks. New York pizza rules. MU330 was awesome. Slapstick was awesome. But like I said, Chicago pizza sucks. New York pizza rules.
He cannot stress that enough.
That was what I realized. says tonight was that Chicago pizza sucks and New York pizza rules, and that was really all that I cared about, other than the fact that it was an awesome time.
You gotta go tell Brendan Kelly and Dan Andriano that.
I will tell those motherfuckers to their face, and they will know it, because that tomato pie sucks. Who cares about tomato pie? Not me.
Not me.
No way.
It's
not me.
It's the worst part of the pie, really.
I came here to see the Chinkies and ME330 and Slapstick, and it was amazing.
Well, did it live up to your expectations? Is it all that you could have asked for and more?
I've never seen the Chinkies. ME330 never disappoints, and I've never seen Slapstick, so there was really no way I wasn't going to have a good time tonight.
Nice.
Unless, of course, there was some reason I wasn't going to be drinking, and then I would just think that everyone was playing very sloppy. But that was not the case, and I got to have a great time.
That's awesome. How did you drive out here? How did you get out here?
I flew out here this morning. I closed the bar at 4:30 in the morning, and then went to JFK and drank on the plane.
As one is known to do.
I've been drinking all afternoon because I am gonna smoke some weed right now. Right now I'm gonna do drugs in California because it's legal.
It is. It's San Fran. Everything goes here. No, that's
and
cool.
Like I said, if there's one thing I want to stress about this entire festival is that New York pizza rules and Chicago pizza sucks.
Dude, that's bullshit, man.
Oh, bullshit.
Oh, we got the centers in the crowd right now.
New York, Chicago.
Okay.
Chicago. You know what?
I think he's trying to rattle some cages here, Jim.
Chicago pizza is tomato pie. New York pizza rules.
It's fun.
Crispy is a motherfucker.
Yeah. You know what? They're both good. How's that sound? It's
I don't like tomato pie.
You're out here for the whole week, right? What shows are you going to come see?
I'm going to see Slow Gherkin, Andrew Jackson Jihad, The Queers with Classics of Love, and Bomb the Music Industry with more friends.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So many friends on this fest.
I was going to say, it sounds like a lot of the shows I'm going to be there at this week, so
we're going to hang hard.
We're going to bump into you a bunch of times, hopefully.
And D-Ray from Community Records is here promoting.
Hi.
Hey, why don't you say a little bit about what you're promoting?
I'm out here promoting the Head Above Water release. It's a response to the BP drilling disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. It features our good friend Mike Park. We got Mustard Plugs, Screaming Females, Cattywampus, Bomb the Music Industry, a ton of people from the Community Records family, and other people from Planet X and Asian Man. And it's a free download, but you can also donate money to Gulf Restoration Network.
I was going to say, how does this help anything if it's free?
Well, the free thing kind of spreads the word that it's still happening, and then you can also donate money to the Gulf Restoration Network to help clean up the spill.
I gotcha.
It's definitely still not clean.
Yeah. And what's your name again? I'm sorry.
I'm D-Ray. What's your name?
I'm Courtney.
Courtney, nice to meet you.
I do the Flyover Ska Show podcast.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's what you're on right now.
Awesome. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. I hope we're on MNSka.com. So
I got this. It's in my backpack. I got a comp from MNSka.
I dropped it off at the table. So cool.
Sick.
Cool.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
What you're going to go to the same shows as Jimmy, or what are you doing?
I'm going to the same shows as Greg. We've got coming up, we got the Queers.
Yeah.
I think Classics Gloves playing that show.
Yes.
And then we've also got Andrew Jackson and everybody else is playing that show. I'm just in San Francisco having a good time.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about this whole fest kind of brought you out here? What was the reason?
The fact that I'm seeing bands that I never thought I'd see since I was like 14 years old, and that they like influence me to do what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, so what were your thoughts about the show we just witnessed?
It was incredible. I haven't seen ME330 since 2003 in New Orleans, and I've never seen the Chinkies or Slapstick, and I never thought I would.
I feel like I'm in exactly the same boat, except I didn't see ME330 in New Orleans because I've never been. But I did see them in 2003.
Yes, yes. Sick, man.
Hey, well, that's cool. Hopefully we'll
see. For a free download, Mike Clark and Mustard Plug, an awesome band.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, you too. Courtney, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I had the pleasure of running into Boston at the show that night, meeting her in person for the first time. Her and I have been interacting for years over, you know, internet, email, IMs, just talking about ska in general, talking about shows we've been to and whatnot. So it was kind of a cool experience to meet those type of people for the first time in the flesh. She and the rest of her crew, including John Flynn and Gimper from punknews.org, and they filled me in on their thoughts of the epic show we had just witnessed.
Chris loves me. What
else? He's got a fine beard, yeah.
I have a pretty good beard.
And who are you for the fine folks?
John Flynn.
John Flynn. All right, well, welcome to the Flyover Ska Show.
Huzzah!
We just witnessed a show. Would you like to describe to the fine people what we witnessed?
This is the kind of show I dreamed about as a young kid. The first time I found that Asian Man catalog in a CD that I bought. It was one of the first labels. It's the kind of show I dreamed about. You know, bands like the Chinkies, MU330, and Slapstick together on one bill. Incredible.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing, right? I
mean, yeah. And they sounded like totally on, like, but you know, some of these bands haven't played together for how long, and they just picked it right up, sounded great.
Yeah, I mean, Slapstick, I'm pretty sure hasn't played for about 15 years.
Oh yeah, and they sounded great.
Where'd you travel from?
Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh wow, so basically the whole, like, the entirety of the continental U.S.
As much as I could, yeah.
When did you fly in, or did you drive in?
I flew in yesterday.
Okay.
Got in last night. So I got bummed around today.
And like, are you staying the whole week, or is this the only show you're going to?
I'm here all week. I leave early Monday.
So. Sounds like a lot of people I know.
Yeah. Well, if you're gonna come all this way, might as well.
Yeah. Yeah. What other shows are you looking forward to?
Super stoked for the Broadways. That was another band I just never thought I'd ever get to see.
Yeah.
The Alkaline Trio show tomorrow should be cool. I'm only going to after that the Lawrence Arms one, but with Toys to Kill, can't beat that.
Yeah. You came to this. This was a predominantly ska show. You're wearing a Boss Tones T-shirt, so I'm assuming you're into ska music.
I enjoy some ska. Yeah.
You enjoy it. Yeah. What got you into it?
Honestly, it was kind of two things. One, seeing a kid in my high school with a Less Than Jake Hello Rock You shirt. I mean, like, that looks cool. I'm interested. I'm going to look into that.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine lending me a Boston CD, be like, you should check this band out. They're pretty cool.
I didn't know that.
Were you in Boston at the time?
No, I'm Western Massachusetts, so outside Boston, wishing we were in Boston.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay. Cool. So, okay. The highlight of this show, what would you say? Like, was there a moment where you could capture in a bottle and, you know, and take it home with you? What would it be?
Finally hearing Slapstick play 18 live. I love that song, and just, I mean, you know, obviously,
definitely
of course they play
favorites.
It, but
yeah.
It was just like, I've been like, it's all week I've been like blasting the 25 songs collection, just getting ready for that, and that's the one that's like, when I hear that, that's it, it makes the whole thing worth it.
Yeah, I made the band I was in cover that song because I liked it so
nice.
Much, so yeah,
nice.
I was pretty pumped about that as well.
Yeah.
Cool, well, hopefully we'll see you around at the shows.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for being on the show, man.
Absolutely, yeah.
Autographed by Dan. I mean, I was like 16. I'm like, this is the coolest fucking thing ever.
Sweet, there's an autograph in here.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't even pay extra for it.
I'm like, I paid $6 and I got an autograph by Dan.
What'd you think of the show tonight? You had a good time?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Were you gonna stay in or just ask me?
I don't know. It's, I mean, you know, for a ska show. Yeah.
For a ska show.
It's no Suburban Legends or Sublime with Rome, but what are you going to do?
Sublime with Rome?
With Rome.
I was like, I don't know what you guys did.
Hey, Panic is a great song, okay?
It actually is.
Yeah, it really is. I was really impressed with it. I'm going to buy that CD when it comes out.
I feel like, I still feel like it's going to wildly disappoint me, but I'm still going to get it.
But here's what I look at, though. Like, your Blink album, I can always be disappointed by that album, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You have to have enthusiasm for failure.
True. I think you're right.
It's how you be a true ska fan, because eventually they'll all drop the horns, get rid of the upstrokes, you know, R-Band style, Hippo style, Aquabat style.
I stay a fan of these bands just so that 15 years later they can get together and play a show like this.
What do you mean, Hippo's released two albums?
No, actually, after they broke up, they released a final album that had no horns. No, had horns on one track.
I don't acknowledge that album.
What?
So, no. For who?
The Hippos.
Oh, yeah. No,
there is no third album.
What was the one? The one I have is Heads Will Roll.
Heads Will Roll.
Yeah, it's a great album.
I love that shit.
Same with that. You forget the world just because I love the song.
There was a great band out of Minneapolis, and they have a shitty name. They're called Chicken Poodle Soup. And they basically were like the Hippos reincarnate. It was great. But they are no longer around, of course.
Remember when Rubik Fish hated the Hippos because they called them a Rubik Fish knockoff? Down to the Jewish trumpet player.
I don't remember it, but...
Ska Wars.
Yeah. Back when people scared about ska bands.
Hey, people still care. We just did some high school.
Yeah, I'd argue that people still care.
Yeah, I think that tonight was a pretty good example.
No, because ska is stronger than it has been at least in the past 7 years. I will argue that to the death.
Wait, what are you arguing?
No, ska scene is stronger now than it has been in the past 7 years. No, I'm serious. Like I said, all the great bands, all the 90s bands are still together.
When we had this conversation earlier, you listed like seven bands that are with ska.
No,
and Rubik Fish.
And Rubik Fish. That was like, and there's Rubik Fish.
No, but I mean, the Abnett community is seeing them doing great stuff. Westbound Train, the Fourth Right, Bond Music Industry. Big D's at the peak of their career right now. Muster Plug has started touring on them.
Muster Plug will never do it with
their own. Yeah. They do weekend tours, and they put out about a song a year.
Because they tour all the way down to Dallas, Texas, okay? So they actually did a full tour down the
Mason. Well, it's like, it'll never be more than 2 weeks. Dave has a deal with
they're the only band that reliably tours to Minneapolis once a year, so I love them. It's like, thank you for smiling at us.
I don't know, talking to Dave about the ska scene just depressed me. Like, really, Dave? All right. Same camp, ska fest. I believe you can do it.
Was he like, Ska's dead, kid, go home?
Well, I was like, what if we did a ska fest? He's like, there's not enough interest in a ska fest. I've tried.
Yeah.
If you know of anything, I'm like, oh, alright.
I remember asking him for some advice, and he had, like to get bands into town, to figure out touring schedules. He's like, tried everything.
Yeah.
Just get on Facebook and pray, like, hope for the best. And I was like, dude,
he's so realistic about it. I'm just like, oh, all right, Dave.
Oh, he's a great guy, and I love the fact that he's able to like tour Wisconsin, Minnesota every year because it's...
I love the fact that it talks to people about, like, I was just randomly like emailing them.
Us civilians, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can bow down to us, you know.
He's on
step on our level, yeah. Hey, there's Matt Skiba. He's really drunk.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, cocaine is a hell of a drug. Yeah. By the way, I'd like to tell our listeners, because I've been taping this. Matt Skiba did about a 3-minute drunken rant on stage.
3 minutes, I love you guys.
Yeah, it was like, I love you, man. I love Mike Park.
I know, Christmas.
Yeah, everybody, this is how Chris Pollard feels when he's on stage with me.
Yeah, I'll throw that rant on YouTube. I definitely filmed it. So, yeah. As soon as he started rambling and I could tell he was drunk, I was like, you know what? We got him.
I love when he came out for that cheeky song. Like, everybody's camera went up.
Yeah, I tried to snap a few photos. I mean,
I got a half bit on video.
Seeing an Alkaline Trio member skank on stage with Mike Park. I don't know. That might be the.
I'd say cherry on top. I take back my moment. That may have been it.
It was pretty wild.
What was your moment before?
Hearing 18 live finally.
Yeah. I like Mike Park just saying, "I'm Mike Park. I'm on the fucking best."
That was pretty great too. There were a lot of pretty good moments tonight.
I do remember looking around at one point going, wow, this is a really great show. Like in the middle of it going,
can we go back to 1996? Because that would be really great.
Yeah, well, I was halfway through the MU330 set, and I was like, wow, this is really great. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, we're not even done yet. There's more show left.
Well, I was saying to my friend Michael after the Chinkies, I was like, that felt like a headline set.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as they were done, I was like, oh, fuck, man, we got two more great bands.
Yeah. Well, this is the first band.
Wait until Bomb plays a Broadway show. After that, you can just go home. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even have tickets for that Broadway show. I wonder if I can just waltz in. Probably not. Maybe.
I'm with the press. Just walk.
I should just. I should text Jeff and be like, "Let me in, please, please."
Are you sad inside?
Yeah, always sad inside.
Good job, buddy.
Hey, this kid.
You're John Ryan.
That's me.
You play for the Flaming Tsunamis.
No.
No?
He was never in that band.
Somebody came up to me and was like, "Oh my god, man, you were in TFT. I saw you." And I was just like, "Oh, I don't want to talk about myself at all. Please, I'm going to leave."
But I'm going to ask, are you in a band currently? Because you've been touring so much with the Wonder Years, aren't you?
Yeah, I play with them. I started a band with some other...
You were at Nick's, is that still going?
Yes.
You're at Nick's 86?
Yes.
Sweet.
New EP is coming out in a week or something. And it's like so many cool, fun, silly people. It's a great live show.
Well, I
for a bunch
out.
Of people in their mid-20s
to tour to
30s.
The Midwest. Are you coming to the Midwest?
No, you gotta go out east.
They're old. Everyone's old.
Like, I know. I'm old too. I can't go.
Dave is 33. JT's 30.
But
he still tours.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like JT tours a lot by himself. John tours a bomb full time.
Wait, JT from Ansibee
is now playing keyboard.
Oh, I didn't know he was in it.
Isn't there a couple of high school football hero guys in
the Just a singer.
Oh, just a singer. Okay.
Yes. Oh, Dave's
in it. Alcoholic, unfortunately. But fortunately, Matt Bellinger, who plays trombone in Year of the Union, also just left and is now ironically playing in my new band.
Wow, it's like a transplant.
Oh, no.
Like, you just take the old, you weird
play
union.
Trombone. You know, I was like, I don't want to play trombone ever.
I don't
want to
play trombone.
I was just like, hey, start your punk band, do whatever. Nick's 86 is the band. You'll learn the songs in an hour. You don't have to put any work in. Just come to a show if you can and play.
Right.
If you can. If you can't, no one cares.
Right.
I miss 80% of the shows. It's like horrible time. He's like, okay.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to say. I always
see you on tour. So I was like, were you at the release shows for the Wonder Years?
I was there yesterday. Oh my god, it was unreal.
Who was it? Yesterday? I feel like I did one or two. Yesterday's mixtapes with fireworks.
Yes.
Oh,
6,000 people.
It looked so insane.
It was
1,000
people.
Where was it?
I was so tired. Starlight, Philly.
Philly, okay, yeah.
It was just like, unreal. They're blowing up, which is why I can't stop touring with them, because they are very good friends of mine and they do treat me very well.
Yeah. And they are, like, it seems like they just get bigger and bigger.
They are.
Were you at them when they played like the Mod X or like the Fret House?
Mod Exchange? I was there for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like every time you're in town, I'm like, oh, sorry, man, you came on a weekday. Come on a weekend.
Every friend I have from Michigan says the same thing every time. You, Ben Wixon, and the other guys that used to live with, like, Jim Margo and all them, and, like, the Watu House, Colin Floyd and all those punk pieces of shit, the same thing. Sorry, every time.
Can you just change that?
I wish it was tomorrow.
Well, it's like, I work midnight, so, like, Sunday through Thursday nights, I only have Fridays and Saturdays, and that's if we're not working, so it's like, sucks.
I'm so tired right now.
So, I bet you are.
Bill, when you walked into the club, I was like, god damn it, you look really familiar. And then I was realizing, oh yeah, you were in We Are the Union, and like you played with us in St. Paul, like a couple years ago.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, you got a face that you can't forget.
I've been growing my hair out foolish. My friend died. And the last thing he said to me before he died was, it would be really funny if you kept growing your hair. So now I'm just, I don't know, I'll cut it.
You got this fro going on.
It's so shitty. My hair is, this is the longest it's been in my life. It's usually like this long or shorter.
Yeah.
And so now it's just like, every day I'm just like, god, I look awful, whatever.
Something that was kind of hilarious.
That's why I'm just like growing it.
Tonight, Dan Potas is dragging you through the crowd to backstage.
Yeah.
And it looks like you guys look like twins.
I know.
You know,
because
you got the glasses and the fro hair. Like, it's crazy. Like, I was like, what's going on here?
I love Dan. He's the best.
Yeah, hopefully I'm going to see his, I think he's playing later on this week, or maybe tomorrow? I don't know. I don't even know what day it is.
Saturday is that awesome
Saturday
show.
Yeah.
Kirk, at Santa Cruz. I wish I could go to that, but I got to start Warped Tour, so I got to leave on Saturday morning, unfortunately.
Womp womp.
Dude, that show would be so awesome.
Well, I'll come to Warped Tour.
Are you going to be here tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm here until I leave Monday.
Yeah. I'm here after Monday.
We're going to both shows tomorrow. Well, I mean, we're gonna go get a Gherkin show, and then just go see Alkaline Trio.
Okay.
I mean, apparently he set it up so it's a little staggered.
I wish I would have known.
So.
Oh well.
I mean, literally, whoever else is playing Alkaline Trio show, I don't even remember who it is, but I will check into both. Get whatever the bracelet is or whatever. That way my friends, because like my two friends over there, like want to see Alkaline Trio's whole set, whereas I want to see Gherkin's whole set.
Right.
And whatever I can about Alkaline Trio.
Right.
So
I'm doing the same thing with like Bomb is playing on Sunday.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Arms are also playing, so I'm just going to be doing a back and forth. So
the Asian Man Records Anniversary Festival was a unique experience for me. By day, I wandered the neighborhoods of San Fran with suggestions from my aunts and uncles in the Bay Area and kind of just went exploring, eating at local shops and finding as many brew pubs as I could. When the sun started to set, however, I took a cab to the south side for some epic ska and punk rock shows. Each night, there were two venues hosting bands from the Asian Man catalog. One was called The Parkside. That's right, two E's in The. And the other one was called Bottom of the Hill. They were about, I don't know, a couple blocks apart, maybe three blocks apart. So one could go between venues all night long if they wanted to. The second night, I parked myself over at The Parkside to see a bunch of ska bands from past and present. The bar itself is pretty small. It has a really small stage kind of cramped over in the corner, illuminated by red lights. The first band to perform that night on that stage was Monkey, a long-running ska band from San Jose. I caught up with the lead singer, Curtis Meacham, outside the club after their set.
That's cool. Okay, so I'm standing here with Curtis, lead singer of the band Monkey.
Woo!
And you guys are from where?
San Jose, California.
San Jose. And we're at The Parkside in San Francisco for
The Parkside
for Asian Man Fest 15-year anniversary.
15 years of glorious Asian Man culture.
All right. So, what brought how did you guys get involved with this show, with this this festival?
Well, Mike Park said, "I need a good opener." No, actually, we were really excited to do it. Mike has been our buddy for years and years, even before I was in the band. He was my buddy, and I clung to him tenaciously, eating tacos and hanging out at Taco Bravo. And then
nice.
and then I got a band, and we started playing together, and it was all good. Have a good time.
So how long has Monkey been around?
Monkey's been around for 15 years.
Wow. So as long as Asian Man's been a label.
As long as I think we beat Asian Man for maybe a year. Maybe a year.
So you can claim a little bit of dominance.
Yeah, so we're probably just a little over 15 years. I think a little over 15 years.
You can pull rank on Asian Man if you need
to. Yeah,
I can
be like, hello. But you know what, they had the dill thing beforehand. So,
yeah, that's true.
So they kinda were like way before us anyway. So okay. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Either way, they were awesome and we looked up to them and we started doing what they were doing. When I say we and them, we Monkey, them being Skanky Pickle and Dill Records, which turned into Asian Man.
All right, so when did you become a part of Monkey, or was this something that you came up with?
Well, originally, I wanted to do a ska band because I saw Skanky Pickle, and I thought they were awesome, and I wanted to do a ska band, but we wanted to do something more traditional, and there was a lot of people doing ska punk at the time.
Right.
And so we started doing this traditional thing, and we kind of grew our own little existence, you know.
Very cool. Yeah, no, I dig the traditional vibe. In fact, it took me a while to come around to the traditional vibe.
Yeah.
Which brought me around to going like, hey, I keep hearing about this Monkey band from California.
Yeah.
I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota,
so it's like we don't get to see Monkey ever.
Yeah,
so.
Minneapolis. We played out there with Poodle Soup.
Yeah, Chicken Poodle Soup.
Chicken Poodle Soup. And we played out there with the Lemon Merchants.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't know, a bunch of other bands.
That's cool. Yeah, no, we need to have you guys come back. Because really, there's been a resurgence in the traditional, in the, not only the ska, but the traditional ska, like the rock steady, the reggae.
But only if you get Prince to come out to our shows.
Yeah, I'll just ring him up on the phone and just have him come out.
Well, you know, just show up with any very short man in purple and we'll be happy.
Yeah, we could probably impersonate Prince pretty good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And if he's not short, just have him put his shoes on his knees and walk around on
his
knees.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
So I was really excited tonight to finally get to see Monkey in action tonight at the Parkside. And
yeah.
This is an amazingly unique little dive bar that you guys have played in.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a... For those who haven't been to the Parkside, it's kind of like the tiniest bar in the world with like this cool little snaky patio in the back. And there's lots of like...
This is where we're hanging out right now.
Yeah, lots of junk on the walls and it's really loud. This whole recording is probably going to suck. It's like...
Nah, it'll be cool. I'll fix it up and post it. It'll sound marvelous.
Marvelous, baby. We'll fix it in post.
That's right. It's really awesome to see you guys kind of carving out your own niche here in California, especially to us Midwest kids that don't get to see you that often.
Well, we love the Midwest. We love the. I don't know if you were around for Johnny Sacco when they were around.
I fucking love Johnny Sacco. Yeah,
Sacco's amazing.
Where did they go? We should get those guys back.
You know what, Johnny Sacco. I don't know them well enough to know exactly where they went.
I feel like they would do well if they came back.
Well, here's the funny thing is that I heard they broke up because they're a cover band. They were doing like a cover band, doing what do you call it? Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Yeah.
So Journey covers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were doing Journey covers, and it was doing so well that they were just making so much cash that they were like, why stay on the road if you could play Journey at home and earn like $1,000?
Wow.
So they started.
So they sold their souls for rock and roll, essentially.
Something like that. But I did a search for them, and evidently they have released music that is in the vein of like modern pop emo. Kind of weird.
So we still need to hold out hope for Johnny Sacco to return to their
hopefully.
Proper form.
Hopefully we get them back. I want the full trucker effect.
Well, yeah, exactly. Full trucker effect. I just talked our last episode was with Jader from 3 Minute Hero.
Yeah.
You familiar with that band?
Yes, absolutely.
They have rejoined forces and they're now a full-time band again.
Oh, so Vader's in it? Or
yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Jader. Jader, that's
Jader,
right.
Yeah.
Because
he played with Warsaw and he played with Go Jimmy Go.
Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah. That's good to hear. You know, if they got back together and Mustard Plug kept pushing and we got Johnny Sacco back, we would have the Midwest crush.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the Midwest ska Voltron would be complete.
Yeah,
we could,
yeah.
Like, take on and...
Yeah, we got Mustard Plug as, like, the Yellow Lion.
Yeah. I'm glad you were into cartoons as I was as a kid.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
No, it was great to speak to you, Curtis. Hopefully we get you in the Midwest sometime soon. Is there anything that our fans, that you want them to know about Monkey? What your future plans are?
For the band, we're gearing up to go on a European tour in September. And that's, you know, that's cool for the band or whatever. But, you know, come to asianman.com, buy our stuff. You know, I don't know if anybody knows about Zazzle.com. It's like you post designs and then people go and buy those designs.
Okay.
Well, our band has a site at Zazzle. It's Zazzle.com/monkeyska.
Okay.
So everybody go there, buy a bunch of crap, wear t-shirts, be proud of ska music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Woo! Cool. Well, I guess
guess I'm going to go in and go check out Unsteady. You gave them a glowing review on stage.
They are amazing. They've always been amazing. I've always looked up to them. They are absolutely stunning.
And I can't wait to check them out for the first time myself.
I think I actually hear them playing. We got to go.
All right,
bye. The night rolled on with performances by Unsteady, Bucko 9, and a reunited Slow Gherkin, who put on an amazingly energetic and theatrical set. Most of the ska sets I was able to actually capture on video, and I've uploaded them on YouTube. So if you go over to the MN Ska YouTube page, you can find sets by all the ska bands, you know, Slapstick, ME330, Slow Gherkin, Bomb the Music Industry, Mike Park himself, tons and tons of video I was able to take, and it's all uploaded on the web. What really set this festival apart from the others I had been to is the fact that there's really no backstage. There's no trailer for the talent to retire to. There's no separation between the fans and the bands. Members of different bands were seen all week hanging out, talking to fans, and enjoying the show as they themselves are fans of their present and former label mates. It was this access, combined with the show bills containing bands I never in my wildest dreams would think I would see live, that made this fest so special. I never thought I'd see Bucko 9 play a show, nevertheless do shots with them in the outdoor patio outside the venue. I was initially starstruck, but after enjoying the sets and a few drinks, I was able to talk to some of the musicians in the crowd about the music I love so much.
Is that cool?
Yeah, that's fine. All right. Go ahead, shoot me a question.
Alright, so I'm standing here with Rob Bell from ME230. We're standing here at the Parkside where we're here for Slow Gherkin and all the other ska bands that are playing here tonight. Rob, how you been?
Great.
I just saw you
very
last
excited.
Night. Yeah, I just saw you last night. You played at Slim's. A great show for the Asian Man Records 15-year anniversary. How was that for you? Like, did it feel good for you?
It's very exciting. It's great to see all these bands together. It's kind of like a big family reunion, seeing faces from years ago, seeing just, it's a very good vibe, you know, seeing Slapstick out of that band. There have been five bands. He had
right.
Honor System, Lawrence Arms, Alkaline Trio, a couple other bands I don't remember, but like five bands formed out of that. You know, it's just awesome.
So
Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah, absolutely. No, now when did you start in ME330? When did that begin for you?
ME330 began for me in 1991.
That's a long time ago.
Yes, sir.
how did you get involved with that band? How did that happen?
They just needed a trombone player, and we just all worked together. You know?
You guys were all in St. Louis together?
Yes, we all worked together and worked with each other and just say, hey, you know, we want to play some ska music, and, you know, we just started, like, playing music together.
How does it feel now? I would say, what is it, 20-odd years later, how does it feel to still be playing with those fellas in that band?
It feels like I just started, like, 20 years ago.
It's just like the first time, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Just like the first time. Should always keep it fresh.
So, you're here, are you here for the whole week, for the whole Asian Man festivities here?
Yeah, I'm going to be here, today, Bucko 9, good guys, oh my God, I haven't seen Bucko 9 for like 15 years.
They played a fantastic set.
Yes, and going to be here tomorrow, going to go check out Dan's solo thing in Bag Area.
The emergency room, yeah.
And they have an emergency room, and man, it's going to be very exciting to see all these faces, you know. It's beautiful because we all toured together, we all hung out together, and now we're all here. It's like a big family.
Yeah.
Reunion.
Now, how did ME330 get involved with, like, Asian Man Records and that sort of deal? Do you remember back that far?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of weird because Bang of Skang and Pickle came to St. Louis, and the club that they were playing at, I happened to be working at. This is right when I started with MEV30.
Yeah.
And, I guess the promoter who wrote the show was like, hey, you gotta check out this band called Skank and Pickle. They're really cool. And, went downstairs, and the first one I saw was Mike standing there in a suit. And, I don't know. It was just kind of like, he helps go. My name's Rob, blah, blah, blah. I'm gonna be here at your show, blah, blah, blah. And, ever since then, we developed a big relationship, and they, over years, it just kept growing and growing. And finally, Mike knew that, he had a band and he was dirty, and kind of like,
Right.
Started from there, and Mike was like, hey, I can put out your record, blah, blah, blah. And then on it was.
What's it like playing with that big fella, Jerry Lundquist, on trombone?
Jerry, oh, it's very exciting.
Really seem to gel together. I mean, like physically, you guys could not differ anymore. But sonically, you guys are fucking tight. You
know? Oh yeah, man! It's like peanut butter and jelly,
yeah.
Like ham and eggs. You know, that's what it's like. You know, we're just a team. You know, we just mix together well.
Yeah, I mean, it's and being a horn player myself, I've been a really big fan of. You guys, the trombones in the ME230. So that is really, I mean, it's really what makes it to me. I mean, don't tell Dan that, but that the horn section is what makes it for me.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Now, you guys played last night with the original sax player. What's his name?
Matt Nobby.
Yeah. You guys played with Matt last night, and it was awesome. Is this just a one-time thing, or is he back for good, or how's this?
No, it was just a one-time thing, I mean, he just wanted to come up and play. I was like, yeah, just come on up and Matt play, and I was like, awesome.
330, right?
Yeah.
That was great, man. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's the first time I've ever seen him in 330.
Oh, right on.
I'm bummed that I missed him so much.
Oh, right on.
Missed you guys.
Rob for saying a few words. This is the Flyover Ska Show podcast.
Oh, right.
In case you were wondering what this is all about. But I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. You guys played in Minneapolis at Station 4, in St. Paul, Station 4, not too long ago with Streetlight Manifesto. You guys need to come back. Come back to the Midwest. We love you.
Maybe we will. The Midwest rocks. Gotta keep rocking. Before we came out, we played St. Louis, and it was an excellent show.
And then that's your hometown, St. Louis. That's where you guys formed. That's where the home base
is. That's where the heart is, yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you still live there?
Yes, I do.
Wow. So, what's it like? Are you guys kind of like superstars in like St. Louis?
No.
I mean, every single show, Dan starts it off. We're ME330 from St. Louis, Missouri. It's like, I feel like ME330 is what put St. Louis on the map.
No.
No.
Well, actually, we are on Wikipedia.
That's everything. St. Louis.
No. But anyway, no. We're just regular Joes, man, wanting to have a good time and play music together, We all have jobs.
Yeah.
We still work, a couple of us work at restaurants, so... Normal people that like to play music.
Well, hey, personally, I feel like you guys should continue to play music for another 20 years because we really enjoy it, and obviously the crowds dig you. So keep doing what you're doing, man.
Uh huh. No problem.
It's great talking to you, man.
All right, no problem.
Thank you.
I also got to meet many of the fans at these shows and realized that the ska kids had tickets to all the ska shows. And the hardcore kids had tickets to all the hardcore shows, and the diehards, they had tickets to all 10 shows in the 5-day fest. So lots of running back and forth between the venues for the diehards. And after the second night, I found myself eating pancakes and hash browns at a Denny's on the south side at 3 a.m. with Boston and John Flynn and Gimper. And all of us were bonding over breakfast food and the shared experience of being far from home and seeing bands we grew up listening to in our bedrooms. The next night, I was once again at the Parkside, seeing sets by a bunch of guys named Dan. Slapstick trumpet player Dan Hanaway's band Rasputina played, along with Alkaline Trio's Dan Andriano, who was performing his solo material. Another artist who was playing his solo material was MU330's Dan Potast. I caught up with Dan before he took the stage that night. All right, so I'm here at the Parkside, San Francisco, and I'm standing here with Dan Potast.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
He's famous, you know, he's of Dan Potast tonight, but he was, you played what, on Wednesday?
Yeah, yeah.
ME330.
Correct. Yeah, opening for Slapstick, and then played with the Chinkies, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that show for you? I mean, it was awesome for all of us fans, but I mean, how did it feel up on stage?
Amazing. Yeah, it was so nice. Like, people, so many people singing along and having such a good time. I think so many fans that, like, really meant a lot to, like, traveled to see that show, so
right.
They were ready to have a good time, so it felt great.
Yeah, and I talked to Rob yesterday. He was at the show here last night, the Slow Gherkin show. And,
yeah.
And I was basically gushing to him that ME330 is a ska band that got me into, you know, really thinking I could, you know, do it myself, you know, be in a band.
That's awesome.
I saw you guys play at the Warehouse.
Yeah.
In La Crosse. Because
yeah.
That's where I'm from originally.
The upstairs venue. I remember that was a burly load-in.
Woo! That's the problem with those old downtown buildings. You can't retrofit an elevator in there.
Yeah, great club.
So that was, I mean, it was amazing. You guys were in for, like, a holiday show. I think it was for your Christmas album.
Right. Yeah, sure.
And it was, like, just blew me away. I was like, awesome. This is sweet. This is the type of music I want to get into. So
that's rad. That's nice to hear.
And, well, here's the thing I liked about ME330. Back then, you guys obviously brought the goods, which is awesome. And then I saw you guys again, you know, this week, and you brought the goods again.
All right.
It's not missing any steps, not missing any beats.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice to hear. Thank you.
So what's going on with ME330 right now? What are you guys' plans? Are you guys doing touring?
We're planning on playing a show tomorrow night in Santa Cruz with Slow Gherkin.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about that because that's my hometown these days.
Ah.
For the past 11 years, I've lived in Santa Cruz. So it's been a long time since ME330 has played in my hometown. So, I'm really excited about that.
That's cool. Well, what brought you out to Santa Cruz? I mean, you originated in St. Louis.
Correct.
Right?
I was a Midwest boy like yourself. I moved out. I'd done a lot of touring with ME330 and always loved it on the West Coast. And Santa Cruz and the whole Bay Area where we are now is just one of my favorite places to go on tour. And I met some great guys in the band Slow Gherkin.
Yeah.
Had some great days just like riding bikes and going surfing and hanging out. And so I had some friends there. And it was really close to Asian Man Records.
Right.
It was right across the mountain from where Mike set up shop. So that was really nice to be close to the label. And,
right.
And I was just ready for a change. I grew up in the Midwest and was ready for something different.
Yeah. And I've been following you a little bit on the internet. You got a new band, Dan P. The Bricks.
Correct. Yeah.
And what's going on with those guys?
Yeah, it's a 10-piece. It's all ska stuff. And it's pretty straight ska. It's not as hard as ME330.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
But 10-piece, 5-piece horn section. We have a trumpet, trombone, alto tenor, and bari sax.
That's phenomenal. Man.
And two guitars, organ, drums, and it's so fun. Some of the best guys you'd ever hope to meet. And, we have a great time.
How'd you guys decide on doing that side of music? Less of the punk and more of the ska?
I think just that's what sounded good when we played together.
Yeah.
When we got together in the room and played music, that's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
So
I saw a couple of videos online where you guys were just playing in the street. You had, like, wheeled out a piano, and you guys were just kind of doing, you know, busking, as it were.
Yeah, most of our shows are actually street shows. And they're so such a different take on the show. It's great. There's no waiting around to play at a club. And there's no, you know, load in, load out is really quick. You just walk up to the street and then you start, you know.
Right, exactly.
And it's funny, we make as much as we do at a club show, at the street show, just putting our guitar case out. So,
really?
So yeah, it's been really, really good for us.
That's cool. I mean, that's sort of an unorthodox route to do music. It's very grassroots.
Yeah, totally. And it's very spontaneous and spur of the moment, too.
Yeah.
We could be sitting around Saturday afternoon and be like, let's play a street show. And a couple hours later, there's 10 of us downtown. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, it's really spontaneous. It feels fresh.
Now, you have a relationship with Asian Man Records, which is the reason for this whole celebration. How did you get involved with Asian Man? Like, how did you guys kind of take that route?
Hold on. I want to make sure I'm not missing Bagheera. Okay. Hold on. No, they didn't start yet. Just check.
All start, yeah.
Well, I met Skank and Pickle when I was just a kid, and they came through St. Louis, and they played a 21 and Up show, and I couldn't get into the show, so I showed up with my guitar and pretended to be their roadie, and loaded in down the steps,
you know,
as if I was one of them, put my guitar down with their stuff, and just like sat in the back of the club and hid until it opened up for like hours, just waiting. So that's how I met them. Started playing shows with them when they'd come through, and then we went on tour with them, and then Dill Records put out ME330 stuff. It's a long story, I guess. But
are you guys like in your new projects? Will you be on Asian Man? Will it be?
Yes.
You keep the flame going there.
Mike is putting out the Bricks album, the Dan P and the Bricks album, the end of the summer. So
great. When is it? When will it be available?
Well, that's a good question. It's finished being recorded. We just need to finish up artwork and getting it mastered and things
like
that. So.
Awesome. Just so our fans know, like where, like, and they want to know, follow you guys. Is there a spot online that that's best to keep track of all of everything Dan Podhaest related?
Yeah, if you go to ME330.com or DanPodhaest.com, go to the Dan Podhaest side and you'll link up with the Bricks. Or if you type in Dan P and the Bricks, you'll find it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, Dan, for speaking with me on this podcast.
And, right on. Thanks for doing the interview. That's nice.
You're going to be here for the rest of the week in the shows, or you're going down to Santa Cruz?
Go back to Santa Cruz tomorrow and playing that show with Gherkin.
Yeah. Wow.
And hoping to make me back up on Sunday. So.
Okay. Cool. Well, awesome, man.
Yeah.
And good luck on your solo set tonight. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. I can't wait to play.
Awesome.
Right on. Thanks for talking to you.
Being one of the few ska podcasters out there, I feel like it's important that I bond with others that are like me and kind of compare notes. I was able to meet up for the first time in the flesh. Once again, I met up with notable ska aficionado and host of the Pressure Drop Soundcast, Gabe Pressure. After buying each other many, many rounds of drinks, we sat down to do a proper interview, and as you can tell, we're pretty loosey-goosey, so sit back and enjoy.
Sitting back here at the kind of at a picnic table here.
It has anarchy right in front of us. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Star of David or some sort of pentagram.
No. Star of David, anarchy, whatever.
We're at the park side in San Francisco.
The park side.
The park side.
Dewey's.
You can't screw that up. And I'm sitting with Mr. Gabe Pressure from the Pressure Drop Soundcast. Like, I've like, quote-unquote, like, I've known Gabe for a while, but I've never met him face-to-face, and tonight is our first, it's our first encounter. It's very surreal. I've been trying to explain this to my relatives, by the way, that live out here. They're like, oh, like, you know people out here? And I'm like, I guess I do, but I've not met them in person, because I've not been out in California.
Here we are.
Yeah. So, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to meet you, Courtney. This is an encounter of the fourth kind.
Fourth kind, yeah.
It's extraterrestrial. It really is.
Pressure Drop Soundcast. How did that start? Like, how did that come about?
It's a podcast. It started some 5 years ago, and it started with me wanting to share music. Hey, I like this stuff, and maybe there's a bunch of bands out there that might even send me music to play.
And it's kind of the best part about doing the podcast, where you get a bunch of free music.
Yeah, it was like I was making mixtapes for friends. I was making mixtapes for myself all the time. And, you know, seeing how you could connect certain songs, certain sounds. At some point, we saw, hey, there's podcasts. And you could just put it together yourself, DIY, and you could put it out there. And people will listen to it.
Yeah, it's very cool, like, the way that sort of happened. Like, you know, me being a ska, like, fan, like, I just go, you know, I just scour the internet for, like, ska things. Yeah. Whether they be bands, whether they be podcasts, whether they be whatever. And so that's how I stumbled upon the Pressure Drop Soundcast. And you guys kind of do it right. I mean, like, you guys feature a lot on, like, the like, I don't know if it just, like, clicked right, but, like, it's the music that I'm listening to at the time. It's like, oh, yeah, that's the style. It's that rock steady. It's the reggae. It's the good sort of, like, I don't know, I want to say traditional, but it's like, typical ska, like punk, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's the bands that are trying to, like, do their own thing, and you guys do a good job of featuring that sort of music.
Yeah, it's what we try to do, is try to show people who are playing the music in the style that is influenced by the original sound.
Yeah.
We're not, like, biased, like, oh, this isn't ska, or that isn't that. We're not, you know, trying to put anybody down. It's, hey, we like this music, and let's see what you think about it.
Yeah, I think it's a great approach to getting kids into that sort of, like type of music. Because it's like, yeah. You know, like, people like to be very, like, you know, black and white. Like, this is this, and that is that.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you know, like, open your mind. Like, here's some of these bands. Like, this is where that shit is, like, you know, like, this is where it stems from. This is where it comes from, you know? That sort of aspect. And, like, I think you guys do a very good job of, like, saying, it's like, well, if you like this band, like, you guys should check out this other band that's, like, they're working hard, they're doing their thing, you know?
I mean, that's the thing. It's just guys who like this kind of music and are just saying, this is really cool. Look at this. We're excited. And we're all from different areas. And, you know, it's like that moment when you're listening to something, you discover something. I gotta tell somebody about this.
Right.
Sometimes there's not, like, anybody there. You just say, look at this song. And you're, like, excited to yourself.
Right, right.
This kind of gives you that avenue to do that, to express that to a wider platform of people.
I love that. That's a great concept. Like, when you hear great music, your first instinct is, I need to tell somebody about it.
Yeah.
Like that. I love that. That's the Pressure Drop Soundcast is a way to tell people about
it.
So, like, Gabe, how did you kind of get involved, or how did you, like, I don't know, like, fall in love with this music? How did, like, how were you introduced to it?
Dude. So it was years ago, like, maybe like 91, 92 or something like that.
Yeah.
Somebody made, like, some mixtape. I was with a friend of mine. We were in the same band together. This punk rock band in high school, and, like, we were freshmen. And he's like, oh, my cousin, he made me this tape, and it's got this music called Skull on it. He thought it was S-K-U-L-L, like a skull.
Yeah, skull, yeah.
Skull. So he gives it to me. I'm listening to it, and there's, like, Let's Go Bowling on it.
Yeah.
There's Mob Town. There's, like, these other bands. And I liked it. I mean, it was like the energy was there, and I'd heard like Operation Ivy and that kind of thing, but I never put two and two together. You know, I heard all this kind of, like, reggae music before, you know, like Madness or ska music like that, but it never really clicked. It was like I was into punk, you know, and I was a kid, so it was like skull, whatever that is, the energy on that tape. I listened to it a million times over and wore the tape out and finally realized, that's what it was. It's ska. Ska. And then started looking into it and bought all the compilations you can buy, all the two-tone stuff.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was living in L.A., so I was like, wow, there's all these great shows going on. There's these great bands right here, right now. And from there, I was just hooked, you know, just started buying the compilations and the music, CDs just going out and seeing the names of these bands. And from there, it just stuck.
Now, like, do you remember, like, is your memory good enough to remember what it is that, like, hooked you into that music, you know? Like, was it the upstrokes, was it the horns, was it, what was it that, like, really kind of dragged you in?
I think it was, yeah, it was energy, and it was like the sounds. I mean, like, I was in band, you know, back in junior high school, so the brass was like, wow, this is a way for me to actually like this kind of music that has brass instruments and not feel like I'm out of place.
Yeah.
Not that I cared, but it was like, wow, this is cool. The energy, you know, everything that was together with, you know, maybe like with the bass, and yeah, there was the upstroke, and the upstroke definitely, you know, it sticks in your head. It's sticky. It's,
yeah,
it's hard to get it out of your head. So yeah, it was there.
I love that. Like, I mean, it's undeniably catchy, and I mean, if you listen to like modern pop songs, like some of the most popular ones, they steal from that playbook, you know, a little bit, and they take that technique.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I could have been, I mean, like, you know, I was a punk rock kid. I could have said, oh, what the fuck is this? You know, you can get that. What is this stuff, you know, with the horns and all that?
Yeah.
But, you know, I grew up on Motown, you know, my mom listened to all oldies all the time. So it was something that was familiar to me that was, it made it accessible, that I found familiar, that I got hooked on easily.
Now, where are you from originally?
From L.A.
You're from L.A.?
Yeah, from
L.A. And now where do you live? You still live there?
No, I live up north. Humboldt.
Where?
Humboldt.
Humboldt?
Yeah, Eureka, California. It's like an hour from Oregon.
Okay. So, yeah, up towards the northern border. Drink a lot of wine, dude.
I don't
feel like there's, like, wine country, isn't that?
With no, we're past California? Wine country.
All right.
We're in pot country.
More weed. Myself.
I'm not promoting anything, I'm just telling you.
Right. No, it's such a trip to see you here down here at Asian Man, like 15-year anniversary. As far as the Asian Man bands, like, how did you get into the Asian Man bands? Like, who are your favorites?
All right, well, back in the day, I mean, think about it. I remember finding, like, Monkey CDs inside the, you know, I used to go to the record store, and, like, I remember looking at zines and seeing all these names of these bands. Sometimes I never heard them. You know, it was just like, I read about them. That was it. Or I seen them in a list where people were thanking them in their album.
Right.
But, you know, there was bands like Buck 09. There was bands like Monkey. There was bands, you know, there was Mike Carter, Stankin' Pickle. You know, all these guys. And, you know, I was totally into them. And then, you know, Asian Man started doing their thing. Mike Park was going out, getting all these bands to play these different types of music. It wasn't specific. And, you know, it was encouraging. There was a lot of energy around it. So, yeah, that's how I heard, you know, Asian Man. I was, I think, through, like, Buck 09, Monkey, those kind of things.
Yeah.
That's what drew me in. And I was like, wow, look at this catalog of music they have. I got to get more.
That's, I mean, like, being a Midwesterner, like, as I've discovered, it's like, there's all these Chicago Midwest bands that ended up on the label, so it's like, I don't know, like, I feel like I took a stereotypical trajectory into, like, the music, and like, oh, I'm a teenager, I'm into punk, I'm into, oh, now I'm into ska, now I'm into, like, ska punk stuff, oh, like, Asian Man, like, you know, whether it be Slapstick or MU-230 or Buck 09, like, Buck 09, like, I was telling those guys at Buck 09 last night, like, they played an amazing show, and I was like, you know, like that album, 2018, like, it really, like, pulled me through high school, like, there was, like, this crew of kids that were like, dude, you know this music?
Yeah.
This is cool music, and it's like, yeah, it is fucking awesome, it's rad, it's like, but, like, you know, nobody really
gave a shit about it, but like a couple of the people that were into punk rock and stuff, you know?
See, yeah, that's the thing. Like, me and my girlfriend coming up here, we're telling everybody, we're going to Asian Man 15th anniversary. This is like high school nostalgia.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, all these bands used to come through. You know, I used to see them, Bucko 9.
Yeah.
You know, I used to see them all the time down there. And, you know, they used to come up to Humboldt all the time, you know, where she lives,
right,
where she was from. And so, you know, people have these memories of all these bands, Asian Man, like Blink 80.
Yeah.
You know, all these bands that just, like, were doing their thing. It was DIY, and I think it made it accessible to people who didn't think they could do it. It's like, if they can do it, I can. And it encouraged others to keep on to make music, that they have creativity in them, that they can do it. You don't have to be a, you know, this superstar. You don't have to have this great ability. It was, if you could put some chords together and you could put some lyrics, you could start a band. And it gave this whole wave, this whole new generation of kids, this, you know, encouragement, this empowerment.
Exactly. Like, it said empowerment. Like, we just saw Dan Podest play a solo set, but, like, ME230 was one of those bands that told me, like, when I saw them live, you know, in the late 90s, it was like, I can do this. Like,
yeah.
I know how to play an instrument. I have friends that like the music. We can make this happen, you know?
Yeah, on that note, I mean, like, the first MU330 was, like, sound check on whatever compilation it was.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, dude, that is, like, just the way it starts, you know, it builds up all that excitement. That was it. Don't you love the people that drawing around here?
It's a little rowdy here.
It's a little rowdy, but it's cool. It's cool.
I dig it. No, it's like, it's amazing. Like, I've been here this whole week. What is it, Friday night? Jesus. I've lost track of the days, kind of.
Yeah.
It's been unreal, but like, this is my third night of going out to shows for this festival, and it's like, I love every band that's played. You know, whether they're punk or ska or whatever they are, and it's just like, I just support everything that's going on. I support what Mike Park's doing. And like, being here, I get this feeling, I don't know if you do too, Gabe, it's like you're finally, you feel like you're not alone. Like, there are people that also support it. Like, there are people like around the country that support this music that, I don't know, quite frankly, I grew up on, you know?
Yeah.
Since my formative years, these are the bands that I play, that I listen to. Slapstick, ME230, Bucko 9, these are the bands that I really, like, latched on to.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what's great about what Asian Man does and Mike Park. You know, like his album, For the Love of Music.
Yes.
It doesn't pigeonhole everybody into a genre.
Right.
There's all these hybrids of ska, hybrids of rock and roll. Acoustic. It's music.
Right.
For the sake of music. This doesn't say you have to play music this specific way.
Yeah.
There's nobody telling you that. On the label, it introduces you to all these different styles. And you have different formats you can take from and different influences.
Right.
You know, as somebody who's impressionable who might want to make music like this, to say there's all these different ways you can do it. It's not just this one way, and you can't do it any other. That's why I like Asian Man. That's why I support what they do. There's no rules like that.
Absolutely. Like, and, you know, everyone has varying musical tastes, so there's a flavor for everyone. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what I've really dug about Asian Man Records. Now, you're a ska fan, and I like to think that Gabe Pressure has his finger kind of on the pulse of, you know, the American ska scene a little bit. Who are the bands that you're kind of excited about right now? Like, who are the ska bands that are kind of like, you know, scratching your itches, you know?
I think on the top of, you know, top of my list that are right there right now, the Impalers. I like what they're doing. I know they've been around for a while. They've been around just as long as the Aggrolites have been.
Yeah.
But I think just haven't got the same kind of attention.
Right.
Impalers are great. I like Boss 501 a lot. I think they're going to do a lot of good things soon.
Where are they out of?
They're out in Chico, California.
Okay.
And obviously I'm starting in California because I'm from California.
No, that's kind of why I was asking your opinion. Because, like, like, you're in the California area. We don't know about, like, a lot of the bands that come out of here.
Yeah.
Only the ones that kind of make us a national splash. So.
Right. So, yeah, starting in California, Boss 501, the Impalers, you go into Los Angeles, and you got the Delirians. They're doing awesome things. There's the Bohunks. I'm really excited about the new blood, the new era, you know, the new generation, because they're doing it, and they're doing it right, they're doing it well, they're great musicians, you know, and I think they're just carrying the torch. They're starting to actually tour, go outside of their hometown. It's almost like a new generation of what was happening in, like, the 90s, you
yeah.
know, and they're carrying that torch. As far as other places, you know, like in the country, in the U.S., the Fourth Rise, you yeah. know, awesome band, you know,
yeah, those
awesome.
Guys are great.
They're out there, they're pushing it, they're doing the thing, Green Room Rockers.
Yeah.
The same thing. You know, in Montreal, there's the Beatdown, you know, they got Alex yeah. over there from Stomp, them One Night Band.
One Night Band.
They're really excited, they really know what they're doing, they're getting out there, they're stepping outside, you know, they're not just comfortable just staying at home, and they're doing that, and it's that kind of thing that excites other people. Wow, these guys are doing this same thing in this other country,
right?
And they're coming here and bringing that here. Well, I can do that too. I want to go to the places to visit. I could play music and that allows me to do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I get that same sort of feeling. Like, it's like it's sort of like that early to mid-90s feel where it's like people are starting to pop out of their shells and starting to tour outside of their zones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, I keep hearing, you know, names like that, like the Bohunks or the Green Room Rockers and even the Bandulus out of, like, Texas.
Texas, yeah.
Right? Yeah, it's like, and the Fourth Rites, I just had them crash at my place
yeah.
like 3 weeks ago, and they're fucking phenomenal. They toured with Matty Lucas through there. It's
yeah.
like, Jesus Christ, like, the talent is there. Like, the talent is all over. And they are, now it's, I feel like people are starting to organize. They're starting to tour.
You know, here's the thing that I see, that, you know, as these bands are going around that really, you know, I support, that really excites me, is that they're going and they're doing their thing, and they're influenced by, you know, what, like, the Scatolites were doing, what bands like the Stubborn All-Stars were doing.
Right.
They were touring hard. The Slackers are still touring hard.
Right.
People are seeing that. This is how it's done. It can be done. It's possible. But those older bands that are still going, or whatever it is, like the Scatolites, the members of those bands, you know, rest in peace, a lot of them are gone.
Yeah.
But their thing was, they would teach the people that they met their music, pass it on.
Right.
Pass on what they learned so that it can live on. And, like, King Django, he's a good friend of mine.
Yes.
The same thing he told me. Like, he taught me some things, you know, and he told me the exact same thing. Though, I'm sharing this with you, Gabe, but teach somebody else.
Right.
Pass it on. Pass on that energy, that excitement, that love, that knowledge. And that's the way. That's the way that was set forth in the beginning of this kind of music with all those musicians. And whenever you meet them, you ever, you know, these older Jamaican musicians, it's the same thing. They're going to pass on their wisdom.
Yeah. No, I totally dig that. Like, yeah, I've been playing recently with the Prize Fighters, and they are students of the music, and I just totally believe in being students of this type of music, so that it does live on for more generations.
See, and that's another thing. I mean, talking about bands that are doing something today, the Prize Fighters, again, it's like that Dan Pothat song that we just heard earlier.
Right.
Start a scene.
Yes.
Play music. Create. There's nothing going on. There's not a scene for this kind of music you like. Create it.
Yeah.
There's the Prize Fighters. There's you doing your thing in your town, in your area. Starting a fire, it's gonna grow, and you keep at it.
Right, and we definitely see evidence of that happening, and it feels good. It feels good to know that, like, that's all it takes, really.
Yeah.
It's just doing what you want to do, showing it to other people. People latch onto it, and then all of a sudden, it just grows.
Yeah,
I feel like that's happening, you know, not only with us in the Midwest, but it's happening out west, it's happening out east, it's happening down south. Like,
yeah.
the the Voltron will soon be complete, my friend.
See, that's the proof. You have a love, you have an energy and excitement, yeah. And you're out there making something happen. You know, they say, if you build it, they will come, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Sure, you're in the Midwest. Yeah, it's not like a big area like Los Angeles,
right, yeah,
or San Francisco. You don't have 5 or 6 awesome shows going on every night.
Right.
You have 1, 2 shows, whatever it is. But it's you guys making it happen. And at some point, that's going to grow, and it's going to carry on. You're going to start to, because other people are going to see it. Kids are going to come. They're going to be influenced. They're going to want to play that music. More bands are going to sprout. Same thing with what Asian Man was doing. That whole movement started, and here it is. 15 years later, look at all these awesome bands that are playing. Look at all these people that are showing up.
Seriously, I believe there are 10 shows this week total, and they're all sold out.
Yeah.
Like, basically. It's like, that's amazing. For a major market like San Francisco, and being like selling out basically an entire week's worth of shows, doubling down each night. I can only dream of that sort of success. And Gabe, thanks a lot for speaking your mind, telling the folks back home in Minneapolis, and I guess all over the country, whoever's listening to this podcast, sharing your thoughts, because it's been a long time coming before we've actually been able to like meet up. So
it's true. I appreciate you taking time to talk to me and letting me yell at you over all this noise, and I appreciate what you guys do out there in the Midwest. You guys keep it up, man. You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks, Gabe. Thanks a lot.
It's funny, but I ended up in that very same Denny's that following night at 3 a.m. with Gabe Pressure and his girlfriend, and it was kind of surreal being sitting there in the same spot at the same restaurant eating the same hash browns with a different crew and having different conversations, but all about our favorite music, ska. The next day, Mike Park hosted a big old barbecue behind the Parkside, and it was free to the public. So Grill Master Mike spent hours grilling up hot dogs and burgers and Boca burgers in the afternoon, while people kept streaming through, eating and drinking to their heart's content. Then, all of a sudden, a punk rock concert broke out, featuring the likes of Kepi Ghoulie, Hard Girls, The Apers, and Bomb the Music Industry, the last of whom brought their full band with them to San Francisco. I caught up with frontman Jeff Rosenstock later on to gauge his time at the Asian Man Fest.
All right, so I'm standing backstage here at Parkside. I think that's the one.
The Parkside.
The Parkside.
The Parkside.
There are more than one E in the Parkside. Okay. I'm staying with Jeff. Buddy.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm good.
So how's this week been treating you?
It's been insane. Like, I've seen like 4 or 5 bands I never thought I was going to see in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I saw Slow Gherkin last night, and it was just so, so, so incredibly good. Like, it was just insane good. Saw the Chinkies and Slapstick. I saw Alkaline Trio in a really small room play a bunch of old songs, like, kind of drunk. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's just been... And I saw the Broadways. We played with the Broadways. Like, I never expect any of that shit to happen. So,
yeah,
it's been a really, really fun thing.
I've had a fucking blast out here. You guys have played many times. In fact, you're playing tonight, but you've played already, like, I don't know how many times already this week.
We've played a few times. I mean, Mike Parks, you go like, yo, you want to play a set? And we're like, yeah, we'll be there. Yeah. Okay, we might as well play. That's cool. We got some drink tickets for the Broadway shows. We got to drink some free beer.
That's always good. I mean, especially when you're playing with a fucking band like the Broadway.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's pavement enough, but we'll take free beer.
Yeah.
I was commenting to you the other night. Since the last time I saw you, you look trimmer. You look slimmer. You're like the new lean meat Jeff Rosenthal.
I think I put on like 8 pounds of beer this weekend. But, aside from that, yeah. Me and Chris from Shoto Ghetto like went running through San Francisco the other day.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Reminds me of like a scene in like Rocky III.
It was like it. I ran upstairs, and it wasn't as many stairs as in Rocky, but I did run up some stairs.
Like you and Carl Weathers running down the beach.
Chris Candy is like a 21st century Carl Weathers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very,
So, aside from all the awesome stuff, anything out here that was completely unexpected? Any stories?
I mean, I didn't expect Slow Gherkin to be as good as they were, like, mind-blowingly good.
They put on a really theatrical type of show, you know what I mean?
That dude is sassy.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
He's got attitude.
I saw the Blood Brothers like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking like that it was just so amazing to watch them to be that sassy, and I've never seen anybody even come close, and James Rickman was the first person that even came close to matching that. I don't know. Surprising? I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
It's just been great. It's been like all of our buddies are being around. We knew that was going to happen, and that's why the second Mike asked us, we're like, yeah. Like, well, I'm not surprised by how awesome this is. It's fucking great, and I knew it was going
to
be.
What I think is what was awesome, too, is like I got to meet not only so many
people. Do you have a guitar cable, by any chance? Yeah, it's in my baritone case over in the corner by like the hard cases. Like, say you're talking about stage left, there's a corner over there. Downstairs in that corner, you walk through the wine cellar.
Together in this like little melting pot.
Yeah, I think that's just a testament to Mike Clark's judge of character.
Yeah.
Like, everybody here just wants to hang out with each other.
Yeah, I was
nobody really wants to hide.
That guy's in Buck 09. Oh, that guy's in ME330. These are bands that like fucking got me into this music. It's like, oh, wow. I just told Brendan Kelly I loved his blog. You know, it's like I like your music, but I love your blog. Yeah, so that it's been a really kind of a surreal, amazing thing, and I've got to meet some of your bandmates, some other bandmates, and just people in the scene and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Everybody's just been hanging around. It's been awesome.
Have you gotten to explore San Francisco at all while you've been out here?
I took a bus up to Amoeba and like found no records I was looking for. Sat in Golden Gate Park for a little bit, and then I walked down to catch the bus back, and my bus was late. So it wasn't really a lot of exploration throughout San Francisco. It was like, go to the record store I know. Oh, couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
Hang out in the park. Oh, there's this asshole crackhead hitting golf balls into people.
Yeah.
Better go back. Oh, my bus will never leave.
I walked around that area by Amoeba because there's like the Grateful Dead lived there and like a house over there, and then we walked over to Janis Joplin's old house, and we went over to Charles Manson used to live in that area. It's like all this shit went down. Like,
you did way more than me, dude. I was just honestly, I've just been chilling. It's been awesome. Like, we've been staying at our trombone player's house, and like his mom's a hot tub.
Oh,
we just found to sit in a hot tub, drinking beers, and smoking weed, and like coming up with goofy shit. It's been real nice. It's a nice
pleasant
break from New York. You know, get some space.
Yeah, yeah. And the weather's been pretty awesome out here the whole week. So
California.
Yeah.
I can't fucking believe I missed you guys. I just got here.
Alright, well, thanks a lot for saying a few words.
Thanks for coming. I'm looking forward to it.
What's that? Yeah, it was helpful. Of course, you're always helpful. And of course, you know, next time you're in Minneapolis, we gotta hang again.
We'll be back in August.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, that's right, you guys are playing a house show.
Hopefully.
Yeah? Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Or, like the other six times, we've been there. Someone will not book us a show.
Well, hey, no, contact me. I will make sure.
Will we play your house?
You can play my house.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's fail safe.
Yes.
We'll play your house.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
It was awesome talking to you. Awesome seeing you, Jake.
Yeah.
See you.
On the final night, before the Lawrence Arms closed down the entire fest, I found a smiling but exhausted Mike Park hanging out outside Bottom of the Hill. I took a brief moment to thank him for organizing such an ambitious event and asked him his honest opinion on how the week went. Here's what Mike had to say.
All right, we're on. Okay, I'm standing here with the man, the myth, the legend, the man who's responsible for this entire week, Mr. Mike Park. Thanks for being on the show, man.
Thanks. What's the name of the show again?
It's Flyover Ska Show.
Flyover Ska Show in Vegas? Where are you from?
Minneapolis.
Again? Minneapolis, sorry.
Yeah, that's cool. So this whole thing, we're on the last night here. What are your feelings? How do you think the whole week went?
I think it went really well, and I'm really happy with the... With everything, it's just I'm just exhausted. I've hit the point of no return. I'm just kind of like flying just by instinct at this point. But it's
yeah,
great.
This whole like, I think one of the bands put it as sort of like a punk rock ska like fantasy camp, basically.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, and it's been a rush for me to see a lot of bands that I never thought I would ever see.
Right on.
Including. Chinkies.
Okay.
It was very awesome. Slapstick. I just got done seeing Short Round. Never thought I would see those guys.
Nice.
Yeah. You got to be proud of what you've put together this past 15 years.
I am. I'll be honest. I'll toot my own horn and say, yeah, I am proud. And I thought it was a huge task at hand, but I felt like it came out. It couldn't have come out any better.
Okay.
So I'm really happy.
If you had to pick like a highlight or two from this week, what would you say it would be?
It's definitely just the people I've met. It's like more than the music. It's just been the vibe. It seems like everyone's just having a good time. I haven't seen any assholes really. I've seen a couple little loud people, but for the most part, I think it's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, I definitely share that feeling. I've met so many people. I mean, because of you, because of your record label, because of this fest, I've met, like, you know, dozens of people, and I think that's really, really cool.
Aren't you guys on stage? Sorry, I'm screaming at one of the bands. You guys are on stage, hurry up. Sorry, I was yelling at the Hard Girls.
Hard Girls, yeah. Oh, that's right, they're playing at Parkside. We're standing at Bottom of the Hill. Any lowlights? Anything? I mean, obviously...
The lowlights is the exhaustion.
Yeah.
It's just the lowlight was Friday at 4:30 a.m. when I was still awake and just tired beyond belief.
I've been feeling tired as well. Tired for you, in fact.
Never mind.
Hey, what's up?
We are being interrupted by Chris from
Choto Ghetto. Yeah, I met him this... Another person I met this week.
Nice.
No, it's cool. I've definitely felt your pain. Felt your. In fact, last night, I think I was standing at the queer show, and it was like, you know, we had the awesome barbecue, which turned into a punk rock show, you know. And the punk rock show broke out, you know.
Yeah.
And then I immediately went to the queer show, and it's like, you know, that's 7 hours of standing around watching punk rock music.
Here comes Mike Yerg.
Hey, Mike Yerg.
Say hi.
Say hi.
Hello. Hello.
You're talking to a bunch of ska kids
in Minneapolis.
I used to live in Minneapolis.
Nice.
I love Minneapolis.
Oh, cool. Where'd you live?
My favorite place. I lived in Uptown. I kind of...
Yeah.
You know.
We're in Uptown.
I lived in 22nd and Harriet.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I used to live 24th and Lindale, so...
Nice.
Yeah.
right there. Awesome. I'm going to go into that show.
Nice. Did you have a question first? Were you coming up
next?
Yeah, you're on the list.
Cool.
Yes.
Mike, I love Mike Park.
Where's the kill?
Yeah.
Is Laura still playing?
She just finished.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Fun.
Mikey's man of many bands.
Yes, he is.
Well, Mike, I have to say I've been a lifelong fan of the label. I hope that you can put out, you know, do 20th anniversary, 25th, 30th, 50th anniversary. Keep this ball rolling, man.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hopefully we can reconnect sometime. I'd love to sit down and do a long form with you sometime.
Okay. I'd be happy to do that.
Very cool.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks so much.
There you have it, folks. And just like that, it was time for me to leave the Bay Area and say goodbye to the Asian Man Records 15-year anniversary. I had an absolute blast out in San Fran to cover the event, and it was a life-changing trip, where I went to ska and punk rock shows for a week and met some of the coolest people imaginable. Make sure you head over to the MN Ska YouTube page, YouTube user MNSKA1, to view tons of video footage I shot from the week's festivities. I've been Courtney Close for Mike Park and all of Asian Man Records, saying, skank on!